every.
Till you get this, I'ma bust up in a club with no guest list. Them other artists, I keep them all restless. I don't French kiss unless it's 50 cent. Never club, we can share them like the president. Tab noise, I don't care, it's irrelevant. I'm heaven sent now, watch I do the ish. Oh.
Get up.
I'm really, really hot. Every time my records drop, radio says I won't stop, cause I'm killing them. You don't know what you're talking about. You would think I was shook when I come out. My album hit hard when I roll out. Y'all records make it clear you wanna throw them out, and that's no doubt. See, I rock bells, fly as hell and cool as different deals. Baby, can't tell, I lick my lips like a male L. And I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm doing it well. Straight to the hotel. I'm still a bit Savoy, you gets no tell. Kiss, kiss, and still you gets nowhere. Just two blue balls down in your underwear. I play unfair, I'm a hot gal. Hot cars and stars and strip bars. It ain't hot if I'm not there. I'm a true player. You can find me up in any record store. Hurry up and get chill. Really hot. Every time my records drop, radio says I won't stop, cause I'm killing them. Look, let me move to the left. Go ahead, let me feel myself. Touch my chest, my sweat. Show the DJs how I shake my breasts. Jiggle, jiggle, jangle. Watch out my booty gets dangle. I do a 1-2 step. Stop! No, I ain't done yet. Everybody in the club go to work. Tight jeans, pop shirts, short skirts. I'ma rock to the beat, to the hurt. I'ma drop it on the street, yeah, you heard. Haters, I flip the bird. Got guns, so what, I ain't scared. I came to boogie and swerve. Can't laugh, yeah. Oh, that's my word. I'm really, really hot. Every time my records drop, radio says I won't stop, cause I'm killing them.
Cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis.
RZA Smith is who you see. Water cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, war. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, happy Friday. This is Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Rodney Daniels with us.
What's up guys? Happy Friday. It's Big Talkin' Brewskis time.
And joining us is Joe DeVito.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing the show, Joe. So, Rodney, how was your week?
My week was cool. I just worked and, you know, did my 9 to 5 and I enjoyed that. I had some interesting train experiences.
Yeah, what happened?
There was this one kid yesterday, right, that was literally like screaming on the train, screaming, kicking. She was like kicking her dad, like slapping stuff out of his hand and shit. He's like trying to take a video to send to the mom. It's like really ignorant Indian family. It got to the point to where it was like a bum on the other side of the train. It was just like, shut that fucking kid up. Like, and I was just like, yeah, bum, you're saying the whole thing, everything that we all want to say. Because like,
you should have given him $1 for that.
Yeah. Right, like, thank you. It was just, no, it's right, seriously.
It's like, can you calm the fuck down, please?
Right, and it's just like, moments like that make me rethink. Like, I know I want kids, but it's like, But then you always say, like, not my kid. My kid's not going to act like that, right?
Until your kid acts like that.
No, because we didn't, because we're black. I'm black. Oh. My parents would be like, oh, we can off at the next stop and you're going to learn some shit today. I wish I would try to kick my mama. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I still
wouldn't
have a foot.
Right? For real, walking around with a nub at like 30. How that happened? I tried to kick my mom when I was 5.
Like, what's your name? Hop along.
Hello, right.
So, Joe, how was your week?
It was pretty good. It's funny. Decided certain train lines, they don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm not really into that these days.
Yeah.
I just discovered I dodged a bullet because I used to live by the M train, and the M train is not going to be running, like, literally, like, at the stop I used to get off on for, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
They're, like, under construction. Oh, well, take a bus.
Aren't they going to stop the L for?
Yeah, the L's supposed to stop.
Oh, the L's been stopped. Yeah, it's going to stop for, like, 6 months or something.
Yeah, I don't know what all the hipsters are going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the L because
when you're in Manhattan,
it just goes across.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to worry about. Just go sideways across
Manhattan.
Boop.
Yeah.
There you go.
And, like, I just feel like the L is, like, always just a fucking clusterfuck.
I mean, it's really good up until midnight. But if you have to catch it after midnight, like, especially, like, on a Saturday or something, you are fucked, okay?
Oh, I don't
like, know. I've, like, missed it one time. I had to wait, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's when the timer...
Yes, because it'll go all the way down to zero, and you're looking, thinking, like, an L is coming, but guess what? Then it goes back up to, like, 25 minutes.
Yeah, it tells you just you've entered a realm where time has no meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, now, Joe, tell us, I know I've done shows with you before, but I don't necessarily know.
For a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen you around for a while, but, like, what have you been up to?
Well, you know, the summer slows down for comedy, so I'm doing a little different stuff. One of the things I'm able to do is I can do my whole act clean. So I work a lot of family resorts and do some corporates and stuff like that. So that's nice. It's tricky because there's one place that I work where if I haven't been there for a while, sometimes I'll start a joke. And halfway through, I'm like, oh, shit, I can't finish this joke here. There's children in the audience.
Yeah,
and then you have to do like it anyway. But that's a place where... They crack me up because sometimes they'll come and they'll say, just so you know, tonight's age 7 and up and not age 10 and up. And I always think, what is the adjustment you think I make?
Yeah.
Yeah. How finely tuned do you think my act is? Well, the 8-year-olds are never going to get this bit. So.
Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, it keeps me busy for the summer.
It's like
and,
the Cookie Monster's fucking your mother. Like, yeah.
Cookie Monster? I don't quite get that.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm using the other time to take some classes, teach some classes. Tonight I'm running around trying to cram in a bunch of spots, but I've got a lot of new stuff I'm working on. So.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of nice because I live on Long Island, so I'm usually on the weekends working or doing shows there. So
yeah.
Coming to Manhattan and run around, do those short sets, and go home with some jokes in my pocket.
So nice. What are you teaching?
I teach stand-up at Laughing Buddha.
Oh, nice, okay. Cool.
That's pretty cool. And I'm taking a storytelling class. It starts next week, so I'm pretty excited about
it. Where are you taking it at?
Magnet Theater.
Okay. Yeah. I took a storytelling class back in the day. The club is closed down now. I can't remember. That's how far back in the day is that the club is closed down. It was like on 14th, like, and 10th or 11th. Comics.
Yeah, that was a nice club. Yeah. That one was so nice, it was doomed from the start.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the food was great.
Yep.
The green room was amazing. Like, you just
what? There was a green room?
Yeah.
You mean, like, we weren't just, like, standing in the hallway?
No. there was, like, an actual green room, and, like, they had, like, TVs, so you could see what's happening outside.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, it was, like, actually...
Were you there when they had the Xbox?
No, I never saw the Xbox.
I did a show there with their, it was their pre-opening show, and the green room was this huge TV with an Xbox, and comics could order off the regular menu, which is like a big deal for us. As soon as I saw that, I was like, this is not going to last. And I came back the next time, Xbox is gone. Next time, here's your comics menu. So every time I came back, it gradually got worse and worse.
Yeah.
So you took a class there. Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, I like storytelling a lot, and I think that... you know, kind of like how people say, like, oh, you should take an improv class, and that'd be helpful. And I feel like a storytelling class was definitely helpful, especially if you're, like, you know, like, more, like, long form, where you're not, like, set up punch, like, or one-liner kind of jokey-joke kind of comic.
Yeah.
But if you are telling stories, I definitely thought that the storytelling class was helpful to, like, kind of make every bit almost like its own verbal short, you know?
Yeah. I did a storytelling thing a couple years ago. Do you know Julia Rossi?
Yes.
Yeah, Julia, she's unusual in that she's a very good stand-up and she's really into storytelling. She's good at both, which you don't really see too much. And it was interesting when I did her show to learn that she told me a lot of stand-ups come in and they just do their act and it flops because that's not what it's about. It's not laughs per minute and all that. But I went up and told a true story and there was a moment where I said something in the audience... they made like a gasping noise and I and I remember thinking I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, that doesn't happen in stand-up.
Yeah,
it just was reading the name, reading an email, a real email, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. But do you guys act?
Occasionally.
I don't know how to do it, and I think this would be a good transition to learn. I took a class and I was like, oh, this is
well, see, that's when I got started into comedy, that's how like I kind of like thought of it, because I'm an actor by nature.
Okay.
Like, and I'm used to like knowing monologues. So like I'm kind of like more of a storyteller, like in that sense, because like I actually write out like my whole set.
Oh, like a script?
Like a script.
Yeah. Okay.
And like I memorize it and go over it, like, and that's just... But, like, a lot of comics do it completely just off the cuffs, and I'm, like, the opposite.
Yeah. I come from a writing background, so for me, writing stuff that if you read it, was you would laugh was easy. But then I learned when you have to learn how to perform it, or nothing happens.
Yeah.
So, but everybody, you got your writing and your performing skills, and there's always a challenge to bring up one. Because we've all seen guys who go up, they don't know what they're doing, but they've got stage presence.
Right.
And as me, it's like...
And they're still funny. Like, you're just like, this joke is really just... not that well written.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know what I mean?
And as a writer nerd, I always get pissed when I see that because I'm like, "Well, this material sucks." But like, well, you know, when I first started, I was holding onto the mic stand for dear life because I was terrified.
Right.
So yeah, that's those.
Whereas because I started out as an actor, like I was, getting on stage.
Yeah.
Like that part didn't like scare me. Like
I was more like I had written before and like you know, in high school and college, I wrote, like, a lot of shorts, and I wrote poetry and stuff like that. So it was more like a writing exercise for me, and then the stand-up became a way to get my writing out. Mm. But then it's just like, oh, what am I supposed to do with all these people now? Like,
right,
yeah.
And so it was just, like, that kind of, like, weird thing. And the acting, like, I don't love acting. I don't hate it, but it's one of those things where when you go on stage and it's your material, like if you need to adjust there in the moment, you feel free to do it. And then I feel like when you're acting, it's like you've had to stick to the script and the intent of the writer. And And I just kind of feel like...
That's true, but when it's you by yourself, it's a different
type
of... Like, you're creating all of the atmosphere and all of the mood.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to, like, play off, like, another person. Like, the other person is the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, like, playing off of them.
I guess in that way, there's almost no true monologue.
Right, exactly. Because, like, I, like, have, like, written sets, but, like, every single time I do it, there's always something that's a little bit different about it based on the audience.
Yeah, I can't remember dialogue. It's embarrassing. Because I took one acting class, and it wasn't even, like, a high-level serious actors. It was an adult ed. People were in there as a goof. And I couldn't remember more than three words in a row. It was embarrassing. And I remember people in the class looking at me thinking, this guy say he was a performer? I was like, you don't understand. I write my own stuff. I know how my own stuff turns out. I think because I was a writer, if there's anything in it that just didn't seem right to me, I couldn't get past. But who am I? Meanwhile, I'm like, what does this Neil Simon know about dialogue? You know, who the hell am I to say?
Right.
It was really, really... But like I said, I was so self-conscious that stops you before you even get started.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. You can't, like,
can't think.
Be self-conscious. You have to, like, just get out there and just, like...
And for me, like, so I've taken a few acting classes, and, like, from my experience, it was really, like, the other, like, actors that, like, freaked me out. You know what I mean? It's, like... Yeah. So it's, like, the comics, like, yeah, we're all weird and we're all socially awkward, but, like, we, like... You know, like, there's that group that's just, like, the one-uppers that are just like, hey, I'm going to make everybody laugh. I'm on. And then you can, like, go into a corner and, like, that group of people that need to have that, like, show busy biz happening will leave you alone because they're just like, all right, like, you're going to be in the corner. We get it. Like, you're one of those ones that just needs to be aloof. But, like, the actors, it's like they're doing voice exercises and yoga stances, and it's like, I need to tune my instrument. And I'm just like, bruh, how did I get in here?
I find actors kind of scary in that way.
Yeah.
And I don't have much experience with L.A., but I've noticed, like, in New York, you can be neurotic, but no one's neurotic in L.A. because they move there because they all think they're going to be famous, which is a crazy thing to think.
Right.
Yep.
And... You live in New York. I mean, obviously, it's entertainment, but you could have a friend who's a general contractor who has a hair. He could interact with normal people.
Right.
But everyone in Los Angeles is somehow involved in, and they're all in this mass delusion.
That's why I lived in Los Angeles for 8 years before I moved here. So, like, it was a completely, literally, that's how, imagine if all of New Yorkers were, like, all actors. Like, not just, like, a section of it. Like, literally, everybody's trying to get in the business. Everybody works out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
It's like when they all get the crazy plastic surgery because they're so used to looking at each other that they forget what a normal person looks like.
Yeah.
And then they're walking around looking like Siamese cats with their faces all pulled apart.
But they think they look amazing.
They think they look great because they're compared to some other weird person with no nose and inflatable lips and all this other crazy stuff. So it's all like... it's like Jonestown for performers.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if I... like. I've visited LA. I don't think I would ever, like, live there, but, like, when I went there, I was just like, oh, so this is what being a two feels like. I get it. It's like, I got it.
Like, I mean, I loved it. I just feel like it was, like, there was just so many things that were distracting about it. Like, in New York, like, you have the weather, it's cold, like, you're leaving your house to go do something. Like, there, it's 85 degrees, like, all the time, every day.
It's fantasy.
It's like, fuck it. Like, I'm just not going to go to the pool. Fuck it. And smoke weed, because it's legal.
There's people I talk to in L.A. where you ask them what they do, and they just give you a list of hobbies. You say, like, where do you make any money? Like, they have a palm tree in their yard. They're doing good.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. It was just, like, really strange. And then, I can remember dialogue, but I also feel like I'm always miscast. Like, you know, because I'm kind of, like, more like that, like, awkward girl next door. And, like, they either try to cast me as like Billie Holiday or like some sort of like mother of four, and I'm just like, I've never done drugs and I've never had a child. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here,
and there's nothing in between.
Yeah,
it's that's just the whole, because I went to a lot of acting classes and like I'm a theater kid, grew up with that. That's just the whole, that's the challenge. You have to find a mother of four and like watch her and like do your homework and like really get into like that character.
It's like, I just remember like one acting class they had me do, God, I'm going to forget the name of the play, but it was basically based on Billie Holiday and she's singing and Lady Sings the Blues.
Oh, yes.
Lady Sings the Blues.
So like they had me do this.
I know, which is a lead. Like, that's great.
Yeah, but like I'm singing.
Can you sing?
No.
Oh.
Like, and if I can, it's like karaoke and I'm wasted and I'm singing the Cranberries or like Radiohead. Like, you know, I'm not this soulful, bluesy kind of lady. And it's just like, I was just like, okay, I'm going to try to get in character. And I went and I got a magnolia and I put it in my hair and I was just, like, you know, and I'm like, let me try to like, what would it feel like if I was on heroin? Like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't even take Tylenol. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it was just very awkward. And everyone's just like, yeah, well, like, you know, it's okay. But like, I feel like you lost confidence when you had to sing. I'm like, oh, that's because I can't sing, bitches. Like,
yeah, you know, I felt like you lost confidence when we asked you to do that ice sculpture.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, absolutely. Because
I don't know what I'm doing.
It's like, I don't even know how to turn on a chainsaw. Like,
I don't really go on auditions anymore because it just was so painful for me to go through the process. But I had realized that I went in there thinking, well, these people are professionals. They must know what they're doing. And the more I did them, they have no clue. And a lot of times they just have actors and comedians come in and they just tell you to go ahead. And maybe when they watch you, they'll figure out what they want.
Right.
Which for me would come in terrified and neurotic. That didn't work. What I really hated was going in for commercial auditions where they'd say, oh, we're looking for a certain type. And then I would come in and I'd be in a room with all these ugly dudes and I'd be like, that's not me, goddammit. I don't look like the rest
of
these
guys. I'm not that type.
Because they would always say, they're so stupid. They would say, we want a Danny DeVito type. And I'm like, okay, my last name is DeVito. I don't look like him at all.
Yeah.
No. But that shows you the limit of
how
far ahead.
You're like 2 feet taller.
Well, then that's not much of an accomplishment, but it's true.
But what is a Danny DeVito type? Like, how many people are walking around looking like that are like actors? There's Danny DeVito. That's it.
Yeah.
Hire him.
Yeah.
Him. Well, I mean, clearly, it's Danny DeVito.
No, because, like, you know, especially, like, when I get, like, sent to, like, commercial auditions and then what I hate, though, is, like, seeing the commercial that you auditioned for later.
Yeah.
And you're just, like, and you see who they went with, and you're just, like, yeah, I took an entire day off from work. I had anxiety, diarrhea, and I was never going to get this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was just, like, because I always got sent on these, like a track phone or, like a PCS phone, or like one time they sent me on
track phone because you're black.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was just like, it was like I was supposed to have three kids and like one of the kids was like 17, and like, granted, physiologically, if I was a hoe in elementary school, I could have done it, but like, you know, it was just like, I like, if you saw the woman that, and like, that woman looks as old as my mom. Like, you know, my mom looks good, but like, I'm just saying, like, I was just like, there's no way I'm gonna get this because I don't look like I've got a 16-year-old kid, and I'm certainly not gonna be looking at a 16-year-old kid like, I told you to get off that phone, buddy. It's just like, who the hell are you? Why are you here? I've never met your dad.
Side note though, doesn't that fuck you up sometimes when you think about like, oh, there's like 16-year-olds. I could be the parent. I'm like at that age where like where.
Well, that's the way I noticed. There was a lot of
just like, no, I've never thought about or
the commercials are a lot like sitcoms. When you look at the family, and if you look at it, you think, okay, the dad is my age, the wife is 25, and the son is 18. Like how
does this happen?
Work?
Yeah, that's like only in Hollywood. Like only,
yeah.
And then the
because you have a range.
Yeah.
But we all know the range is it favors men.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I sometimes feel, I don't say I feel bad for them, but it's got to be weird for women who are the super attractive, who have always been that kind of gorgeous that when you see them, it kind of stuns you. When they turn 35, it must be terrifying because their world changes completely. Because either they think up until that point that everyone's really nice because people have been kissing their asses to exploit them, or they must think everyone's really mean because everyone's been trying to get over on them. And then they turn 35, and then that world is completely gone. It,
damn,
it must blow their minds. 35
the age?
30 like, is the age.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, 30 is the age.
Yeah. Because men, we're disposable up until about 30.
Oh, gives a well, shit about us. Guys are kind of shitbirds until like 30.
Yeah,
like,
we're
yeah, we're actually, just, yeah, you don't really want a guy that's like under 30.
Yeah, that's not, why they send really. Us to die like, in wars. It's so like, we'll make another.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like cute yeah. to look at, but like,
yeah,
till men turn 30.
Not for me, I think that the perfect age for a guy is probably around like 27, 28.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
For what?
Okay.
Better be for something physical, any for anything mental.
Well, I well, the funny thing is, though, is that, like, I guess we're going on the dating portion. so, like, no, I just kind of feel like I've dated guys that have been significantly older, and I've dated guys that have been significantly younger, and I kind of feel like they're kind of the same, except for, like, 27, 28, they still haven't been kicked in the nuts by life yet.
Yep.
So there's still a little, like, hope, and, like, so it that's kind of cute. It's like... It's just okay, like, oh, yeah. They still think things are going to work out okay. Like, that's right. That's adorable. Because
after you turn 30 and you don't have kids and you're not married, people are just like...
They're just like, oh, life is hell. But, like, when you're, like, 27, 28, it's just like, no, I still, like, everything is amazing. And you're like, I used to feel that way.
Yeah.
Like...
I guess the flip side of that is, as a man, when you get older, what you lose in that you make up for in not caring about unimportant stuff as much. But you got to hit that sweet spot where you're not hung up on bullshit, but you're not an old crank.
Right.
Right.
And I know that's I that's feel that unicorn. Coming on with me, where just getting mad about dumb shit. Because it all your life, it builds up. Let me say, yeah. it's not the person who cuts you off in traffic that gets you mad. It's you're like, prom night, 1986, like, comes yeah. bubbling up to the surface.
Yeah. Wait, it'll be one little thing that triggers it.
Yeah. I think when you're younger, you just have not accumulated enough bullshit. There's so, nothing like, there because, to pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Where it's just like, oh, it's fine. I'm going to go, like, have beers later. And then, like, you take, like, you know. But I also feel like in a lot of instances where, like, I've dated guys that were, like, older, they're, like, as immature as younger guys.
Yeah.
In many senses. Mm. But... they just don't have that, like, bitter edge. You know what yeah. I mean? And don't get me wrong. Like, sometimes I like a curmudgeon because it makes me feel like I'm light and fancy free.
It's always good to have the contrast.
Yeah, because it's just like, oh, you hate everything more than I do. I feel like I'm the fucking Dharma and you're the Greg. Like, you know? But, like, occasionally you're just like, I want to feel like there's hope, and there's yeah. and like,
and that
you
comes
know,
with 28-year-old,
and that comes yeah. in a 28-year-old form.
What's the range that you give yourself for dating?
Like 10 years younger, 10 years older.
Okay, and do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I will never tell? Answer that.
Okay,
I will tell you that I fart every time I pee. If that gives you a range,
that's not a young person's issue.
So. exactly. Because he's in the same boat. I give myself 10 years younger, 10 years older.
Yeah.
Like, what is your range?
Well, I used to date older women, and now I'm just too old. I'm 48. So it's really, what am I going to date, a 60-year-old? It doesn't seem to make sense for me. I suppose I would like to have the option of cranking out a kid at some point, but I actually was just dating someone who was 28, and
that's the sweet age.
Well, because at 48, that's a 20-year age difference. It's like a whole.
At first, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal, but it wasn't the years; it was the experience difference.
They didn't know who Punky Brewster was.
You know, we didn't have a lot of reference problems, but yeah, I tell people that don't talk about movies. You're dating someone 20 years younger because I mentioned a movie and she said, oh, I remember that really scared me when I was a kid. And I was like, a kid? That movie came out in 2000. And I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
Movie came out in the 2000s. She was
a kid.
Young, so, you know?
Yeah.
But it went south for other reasons. But she had a pretty good attitude about that, though. So, but it was the experience, like you said about getting kicked in the balls. I think she looks at dating differently than I do. I look at dating in a way of almost like looking back, saying, you know, been there, done that. Not in the mood for, like, I kind of know what's up. Whereas, and she has it all in front of her, and she kind of needs to get her heart broken a few more times before she's going to know where I'm at, because I'm not interested in hookups and friends with benefits and all that bullshit.
Right.
Right.
Because to me, like, if you're coming over and we're going to fuck, like, I never thought I would say to someone, like, look, if we fuck, I'm your boyfriend. Like, I never thought I would say that. Because I was, as a man, I was always like, ooh, I don't want to get to, and now I realize, like, yeah, I mean.
But I think that's the part that fucks guys up the most, is you think, like, you got all this time, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to fuck here, I'm going to fuck this, I'm going to fuck that. Guess what? You're going to wake up and be 45.
Yeah, and it flips.
Boop, out of nowhere.
On a day, it happens in a day, and now, are you close to my age?
No.
I got to have at least 10 years.
Yeah, I'm like,
well, here's what's going to happen. Okay? What's going to happen is you're going to spend so much of your life thinking, what am I going to do? And what am I doing? And then one day you woke up and you think, well, what have I done all this time? And it happens in a day. I swear to God, it'll freak you out.
I mean, well, I'm engaged.
Oh, all right.
So, like, I got to the point where it's like, you know, I met somebody and we are together and we decided this is what we're going to do. And it's like, okay. So that was definitely like a flip moment. Like, all right. I've been single for fucking this long. Now it's time to fucking.
But when it feels right, it feels right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. So, but like, kind of, I also feel like, in my experience, the younger guys are like quicker and more willing to commit than older guys, because like I've been dating guys that have been younger for a while and they're like totally like, okay, let's get in a relationship, like, you know, like, and that kind of like, oh, if we're having sex, like, we're in a relationship. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, that's so passe, but like, it's kind of cute that you still think like there's love.
Yeah,
but like, and I'll date an older guy, and it's just like, well, you know, like, if this is what you're looking for, maybe we should just be friends, because I don't want you to be mad at me all the time, because, like, you know, I've had an experience with somebody closer, like, you know, in that 47, 48 range, and it's just like, we'd had been, like, hanging out for a while, we started having sex, and then I'm just like, listen, I'm not saying that I want to be your girlfriend tomorrow, but like, I'm not willing really to invest more time or effort or into you as a person if this is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, that's well, you know, like, we should just be friends. And I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for that guy. I don't know him, but I know that, I don't know, I as of recently think that that's a real dead end. And I get where you're coming from, because you start to think with the end in mind. When you're young, you think, you never think, and I wouldn't have gotten it when I was young. If someone said to you, you know, this vision of the future, you'd be like, eh, fuck you, old man. Like, you wouldn't want to listen to it. But then you get to that point, you're like, oh shit, all that stuff is true, and my knees are killing me.
Right, but I think because they're younger, like, younger guys are, like, more like, oh, they're not, like, thinking, oh, this is the girl I'm going to end up marrying and having kids with. They don't go into it with that intention, because it's like, oh, fuck it, I'm 25. Yeah. We're just dating. Like, this is my girlfriend. Like, they don't, like, think about it like that. But, like, after you turn, like, a certain age, I feel like you're thinking about it on that level. Yeah. Like, you're going to be my girlfriend, but then this is going to turn to us getting married and having babies. So we got to be serious about this.
So, like, I was dating a 28-year-old, and he was definitely like, oh, well, like, we should start looking at where we want to live, and what do you want to do in retirement? He was definitely that, like, you know, like, future-minded.
This wasn't the last boyfriend, right?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking
about.
Okay, oh. And so...
of course he was.
But he was just definitely like that, like, okay, like, what do you want to do when we're retired? And, like, where do you want to live? And, like that kind of stuff. And kind of, like, let's start looking at, like, houses and like, where we want to eventually settle down to. And then, like, we broke up, and then I was just like, you know something? Like, maybe it was, like, because he was too young, and I need to start, like, you know, dating somebody older that's more established and has more life experience. And so then I ended up dating a guy that was 47, And it was just kind of like, oh, like, you know, I'd known him for a long time. And it's just like, well, you know, I'm calmer now than yeah, I used to be. And I've gone through all this crazy stuff. And now I'm like a more settled person. And then when you're just like, all right, well, what's up with this? And then he's just like, oh, you know something? I don't really know what I want. Like, let's just be friends. And I'm just like, you know.
I mean, at that age, you should... I'm not saying you have everything locked down, but you should know what you need to know by then. You don't want to be going on any 50-year-old vision quests unless you completely miscalculated your life.
And only if you're on ayahuasca.
Exactly. Then you should be opening up, not if you know, you had a Coors Light and you're having a meltdown because you're not where you want to be in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say, you know, good for that young guy who had all that shit planned out, because I know I still don't have all that planned out. But he needs someone who's on that exact same page as him. And I'll probably find someone. There are people that focus and that driven. I mean, I remember friends of mine who weren't even dating. They're like, yeah, I want to get married this year. And then you find out they got married because they just made it a priority. I don't know if I agree with that, but it worked for them.
I mean, well, it is like kind of like the... it's like your thought process. Like, if you really want something, then you like kind of go after it and you think about it like on that level.
Like, yeah, you actually do it.
The secret. Like, you put it out.
The law of attraction.
Yeah, the law of attraction. Yeah. Like, if you attract, like, you know, like that's like what you want in your life, and you like attract it.
Apparently, it's like subconsciously, I'm thinking that I want shit. Like,
you know what? That's a big part of that too. if you attract. I'm just looking at this last relationship, and she broke things off, and I was wiped out. Like, I was surprised by how painful it was for me. Then as I talk to some people, and you start to look at patterns, and you're like, I picked another someone who's not emotionally available and all that stuff. But this was the first time I'd thought, wrongly as it turns out, but like, I thought, well, this could be the one. And it was very strange for me. Like, when I thought about her, I didn't think about sex with her, I thought about hugging her. Like, I thought about all this really emotional type stuff. So, I know, right? I was like, she had no interest in any of that shit. Which is strange, because, like I said, I was always the one in relationships where as soon as things got emotional, I had to get out of there. Couldn't handle it. And now, the good news is, you know, my shrink says, you're cracked open. You got a new way of looking at the world, and you're closer than ever for when the real one comes along. But Jesus, man, I forgot how much it hurts.
Damn, your shrink told you were cracked open.
Yeah, that's what she called it, so now... But I've noticed it, like, the way I interact with other people, I'm open, and I'm not afraid to... Because, I mean, no one wants to hear about dude problems, but for men, that can be a really hard thing, to share how you feel and to tell someone... Just to tell someone that you really care about them, like, we have a hard time with that.
I don't think that's a dude problem. I mean, I don't necessarily do that myself.
I just think it may be easier. Yeah. Well, you sound like a special case here. But I think in general...
Like, do I have a penis? Well,
that's what this chick was like. God, man, it was... I remember first time we were together... I can't even say, like... I have to say, like, we were intimate. Or, oh, my God. I hear myself saying made love, and I'm like, whoa. But the first time I said to her after, I was like, hey, I really, really like you. And she went, oh, okay. Like, she couldn't even. And now she texts me. And she broke up with me.
Oh, out of nowhere.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fucking bitch.
How am I doing? Go, leave me alone. Right. Get the fuck out of here. Like, you need to not exist for a while.
Why do you give a fuck?
That's what I said to her. Because I'd known her for years. And then we dated for 4 months. And I said, "You for 4 months, I told you exactly how I felt. And you said, and I don't know. Now you're fucking some other dude and you want to come stick your fingers around in my life? I was like, I don't do that shit.
Bitch, lose my number.
Yeah, because you know it stirs you up every time you get it. Because the truth is, I want to get a text from her. I want to get a text from her. Well, maybe not now.
But look down at your phone, your heart stops for a second.
Man, she texted me the other day when the phone was in my hand and it scared the shit out of me. Because I was thinking about her. And then I was like, just want to see how you're doing. I'm doing shitty. Go away.
See, that was the thing that was like weird about this one was just like, you know, like the most recent one, he was older and like we'd known each other for like a decade. And it was kind of like we kept trying false starts and like he would do shit and I'd get pissed off and then I wouldn't talk to him for like months or years or whatever. And then this like last time where I was just like, all right, it looks like we're trying to like start something. And then he's just like, well, you know, like, I realize like you're awesome. I really want you in my life. And I feel like I'm just going to like piss you off. So like, why don't we just be friends? I'm like, we've been friends for like 10 years. Like, I don't need to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Like, we never really hung out before. Like, you know, we'd see each other in passing and occasionally we'd hang out, but like not like every single weekend for like 3 months. Yeah. And if you're not interested in me, like, I'm looking for somebody to get in a relationship with or that's interested in me, and I can't spend all this time with you because if I do, then I'm not going to find somebody that's actually interested back. And he's just like, well, like, no, I still want to hang out. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but like, I don't have time for this. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it's also like a weird devalued definition of friend.
Yeah.
I don't care for that part. I don't like that.
It was like, well, I think he just kind of felt like he needed to like throw me in the friend zone and then not abide by.
But you can't just be fucking your friends, like,
yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, especially if you're not if you're not designated friends with benefits, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just throwing out here, where's this going? Giving him every avenue in the world, like, hey, like, you know something. I'm not ready right now. Maybe later. How about friends with benefits? How about something casual?
Like,
I gave
stalling.
Him all of those options, and he came back with, let's just be friends. And it's just like, all right, well, we can be friends, but like,
but we fucked, so we're already past that.
Yeah,
so,
it's not the first time you do that. It's
right.
That's not
where
the
do we go from there? Like, we're supposed to like.
Yeah, but this is like a like a month of banging and like, you know, and it's so like it's just kind of like like at this point, like, calling us friends is like condescending. It's just
yeah
a little
yeah.
bit
so transactional.
Like a slap in the face.
Yeah,
like gonna fuck me for a month and then now we're just friends
because all right that's yeah
like if it's like one like hey like last night got crazy but we're still friends
and then you don't do it anymore
that's one thing
yeah but like if you're just like well who is this and why do they look like they're trying to bang you it's like oh I thought we were friends like,
yeah because you know what that means
why
that
are you
means,
worried about it
that means I want to have you on my terms but if something better comes along I want to be able to tap dance away and no one signs up for that deal. I found that with an ex where we would break up. We would agree. It was like, well, we'll still be friends. I'm like, okay. Because to me, like, I don't get involved lightly. So if we do date, there's got to be a pretty good connection. So me and this chick would say, yeah, we're going to be friends. And they'd be like, well, I'm horny. You want to fuck? Okay. And the next thing you know, you're in a bed staring at this person. I'm like, I thought we weren't going out anymore. But you're here. We just fucked. So it's like, how is this different than before?
Right.
It's just a miserable version of having a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's something to be said.
Until they see you looking at somebody else, and then they're like, wait
and
a
then
minute.
They just like, want
to
put the hooks
but
back
then it's
in.
Like, how could you not? I think there has to be the clean break at some point.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am like 100% down with burning the bridges with your exes. It's just like, I'm a scorched earth person.
Yeah.
Like, when we're having our breakup, like, every single thing I've ever had an issue with is coming out there, and you're never going to want to come back. It's just like, I need that.
Wow. Yeah.
I need that because, like, I need to, like, move on, and I don't need you coming back over. And the only way that I know that you're not coming back over is if there nothing can grow here. I've burnt this ground to the point where nothing can grow.
Interesting.
You can't germinate a seed.
Scorch the earth.
I scorch the earth.
It makes
sense.
That's
what she broke up with. Not this one. The other one.
Yeah.
She was done.
You did a march to the sea, huh? Everything had to go.
Yeah, like, you know, there's all sorts of there's still embers burning. Like,
right,
it's just like that's... I just scorched earth.
Because I was going to backtrack for a second. He was the planner and the guy planning everything out. Mm. That's because he was planning for a beard because he was like low-key looking for dick.
Yeah.
Well. Wow, so that's okay. That certainly adds
right.
a new wrinkle.
Right, exactly. Because there are guys that are out there that are like that like really like to like, you know, they're
well,
like
they
really
want the family.
Guys, but they really want the family, so they'll find like a girl that they could just pull the wool over her eyes and like be with her.
Well, he
and
likes
like
walking men on leashes now, so that's
yep.
a thing.
Okay, well, better you found out before, I guess.
As opposed
to
like
after, but
right. I mean, but well, yeah, but, it could be like, for you. But it could be like 10 years from now. You're like two kids in, and then you find out he likes walking guys on leashes and going on trips to the woods.
Yeah.
You know what's strange about that? I know a couple of guys who were married for years, and then their wives announced that they were gay and left them for other women.
Oh.
And what I've noticed is that when that happens, you're always like, oh, wow, man, I never saw that happen. I never saw that coming. But any time a woman has married a guy who announced he was gay, it was like, that guy was the gayest motherfucker I ever saw. Like, like she's the only one who didn't know before. Like, that guy's like... gayest person I've ever seen.
Because you knew when you met him as like a couple, like, wait, that's your husband?
Like, yeah, you're like, come on. Girl. I thought he was a friend of yours from work.
It's like, what are you talking about? He's so considerate. Like, he always buys my outfits. Like,
I bet.
Yeah, and but they always throw in those clues where you're like, dude's got pleated jeans going on there. What the hell's going on? He's got pleats and cuffs are a problem.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence about the dudes that have their initials on their cuffs.
That's very fancy.
Like, it's fancy, but
is it gay?
It depends
on what you do. I feel like...
Well, what's the rest of the hand doing? That's the question. Is they...
Obviously,
are they fisting someone?
Well, one hand is fisting,
that's
and
a
one
giveaway.
Hand is jerking. Right. So it's like one of these things.
There's always a lot of activity.
I can kind of see what you're saying, though, because it's like you're
it's so gay, but how much you look like. It's gay, but it's also fancy. But
those two things are mutually exclusive,
right? I mean, well, but if I was if I was straight and I was a lawyer and I'm spending you know, $80 on like dress shirts, of course I want them embossed with like. You know.
See, that's interesting that this is a cultural thing, because when you mention that, you see that as maybe like a down-low gay kind of thing. But my first thought of that is all the Goomba pinky ring guys I know, the Italian guys who are like...
rich, right?
Yeah, like, they're like very, like very like show-offy.
Showing everything off and like, you know, I got to go and...
That doesn't mean they're not a low-down either.
Oh, no, but I would look at them
and
say,
too, right, because that doesn't mean that they're like not...
That doesn't mean anything.
Hey, it's a spectrum, a continuum, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, everybody's a little bit gay. Right.
I mean, in 2017, I feel like that's like the case. Like, everybody's got a little gay in them. Like,
well, these days, a little gay is almost like it's almost a relief to some people. Right. Some guys like, oh, look, you don't hassle me. I'm just 20% gay. You'd be like, oh, all right,
it's like your guy.
I always tell
people 20%. Like
20% is manageable.
Does 20% suck dick? I don't understand. Like,
no,
what
but
is 20%?
It would get a dick sucked.
We can't. Okay.
We'll get his dick sucked. That's. Okay. Well, you know,
but no hair
drunken night. Right.
Yeah.
There's a guy that works at my job that's like new. He's like hot server, buff. But he's been showing like, keep in mind, I work in Chelsea. And there's like nothing but gay guys. He's been showing everybody his dick pic. Like,
yeah, it's nice to get compliments.
Right, but you're straight. Like,
look, what is he doing with a job in Chelsea? Come on. Again, I'd put him about a 35% gay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd say 40. But like,
he is a musical theater.
Well, when it hits 45,
that's
come on. 50. All right, now he's...
Now he's 50.
Yeah. The joke I used to tell people was I'm old-fashioned. It's not gay if you're on top. And if that's not the rule, I got to make some phone calls. But now, like, I guess I even think of some jokes I used to have about gender. And it's not so much that they're offensive now as that I don't know if that joke makes sense in 2017.
Right.
Because we just...
Well, I feel millennials are so gender fluid. And I just kind of feel like they're...
To the point where it's almost like the punk rock thing to be, which I can't say I care for that, because I know some people who are transgendered and from that original, back when you used to call them transsexuals, when they would get the sex change operation, is obviously an antiquated term, but I think now it's a way of, you get your hair dyed a weird color and you sort of look androgynous or whatever. I think it's just a sort of a way of letting your freak flag fly. And I don't like when Miley Cyrus comes out and says she's pansexual. It's like, no, you're just hopping on a trend now, and that's bullshit for people who actually have to deal with things with this. I don't do it as a fashion statement.
I still don't think I completely grasp pansexual.
Okay, so
pansexual is somebody that is like,
that's
that
what the flute, right?
Everybody.
That they're like everybody. Like, yeah, it doesn't really matter whether
but
or not
how is
you're
that different than bisexual?
Because bisexual, I think, is men or women.
Yes, and pansexual means that you would hook up with like a transgender person.
But they are also a man or a woman, either born man
no,
or woman.
No, they don't
there's
identify.
There's definitely a difference between a transgender person.
Well, because like, I'm going to talk like a straight ignorant person right now.
Right.
I'm not like talking
and I'm going to let you have that role instead of me coming up with any.
I'm jumping on the grenade for straight people right now. So here's my thing. A transgendered person, although they are not cisgender, I get that, and they identify with a gender that they were not born as, either physically or mentally, they are a gender.
No.
And that's where the conundrum is, because not necessarily. There's definitely like, because there are some transgender women that have, you know, tits and a dick.
But either physically or mentally, they're a gender. So, like, if I'm a pansexual...
But they're not, like, a gender physically.
Yeah, there are some people who say, I don't identify as a man or a woman, and that's when you get into this weird thing with the pronouns.
Some people that identify as the theys. I get that.
Yeah.
But biologically, they still are a gender.
Mm.
Although mentally, they don't identify as the gender that they were born as.
Yeah. I don't disagree
unless
with you.
Unless they're intersex and then they're both genders, but they're still a gender.
But there are people who insist that gender is a social construct.
But if they intersex and they're both like and they're the both genders, that's where people that are into pansexual people come in to play.
But I still feel like that's bisexual.
I'm gay and I'm like not into like dudes with tits.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't turn me on. But there's a group of pansexual people that are into that.
But if you were bisexual,
that means that I like men and women. Or women, not a mixture of both. where pansexual.
I mean, it's admittedly.
But this is what I'm saying, though. It's that's where I like because Reem is
like
picking
men.
Up what I'm putting down. So, like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Right, but that's pansexual.
But bisexual
means that you either like men or women.
Yeah.
You like both.
Pansexual means you like everybody. And it doesn't matter if what they have is genitalia, you like them for who they are.
But that's the same thing to me as bisexual. So, like, let's
I don't
say,
feel like that's the same
okay,
thing as bisexual.
All right,
but you know, these terms change by the day as to what they
this
would
is
mean.
True, and this is why it's so confusing.
Yeah, so like, what's it so exclusive like, now? You're deep into the.
If we're going into the pansexual thing,
it says black.
Let's say that I'm. Yeah. Let's just say that I'm a pansexual, right? So if I'm a pansexual,
is that the hand gesture of pansexuals? That's a Star Trek.
This is like I'm trying to bring everybody into my warm bosom.
Yeah.
So now if I'm a pansexual, I'm going to be sexually attracted to women. I'm going to be sexually attracted to men. I'm going to be sexually attracted to trans women and trans men, and
maybe the asexuals too. They'll tell you to get
no,
lost.
No, asexuals don't want sex, but androgynous people.
That's the one I can't get into.
They just want to play video games.
See, I thought that was just... I thought asexual just meant married couples.
No.
I actually have an ex that now identifies as
sex,
asexual.
With each other.
And I'm just like, oh, that explains a lot. Like,
right.
That can no longer be yeah boy because it's very gender binary.
Yeah,
so it has to be yeah boy
so
girl IGBT.
If I'm pansexual and I'm dating a trans man, right?
Okay,
wait a minute. What were you at the beginning?
I'm right now. I'm pansexual.
First, she was ignorant straight.
Yeah, no, but like now I'm just gonna I'm gonna
We've
walk
all been
in
there.
This is a pansexual.
Now
okay.
She's educated pansexual.
Okay. So I'm walking the in the as a pansexual and I'm dating a trans man. Now physically this trans man was born a woman.
But it's now a man.
But identifies as being a man. I am physically, biologically, if I'm having sex with this person, being a lesbian. However, intellectually, I am being heterosexual.
Wait, because you have to be more... No. No, because you got to be more specific as to, like, is this trans man? Are they post-op or... Are pre-op
see now
trans man
now what we're
but
getting into
do
is
most trans men have the surgery because you're gonna have like a quarter inch dingling.
Well, this is
but that quarter inch dingling is the difference between you being possibly heterosexual.
See, now you're confusing sexual attraction with gender identity because in the situation this is where this gets so wild.
It's complicated.
Okay, so let's say you're a pansexual woman. So your sexual attraction is to everyone, but your identity is as a woman, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're a pansexual woman involved with a trans man. So you've got a pansexual biological woman involved with a trans man who was born as a woman but now identifies as a man. So if the trans man now being involved with you as a pansexual, does that change that he's a trans man? No, because that's gender identity and not sexual orientation. I think that's what they used to call it, your sexual orientation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is where the word sex and gender get used interchangeably where they really shouldn't be because they used to say your biological sex meant your parts you were born with,
right?
Your DNA, and the assignment you were given. And gender is different than that because gender can be incorrectly assigned to you. But that does not change your DNA and the parts you were born with. For example, Caitlyn Jenner can get as many surgeries as she wishes and identify as she likes, but genetically, she's still a male. Now, you can get close to that. We have some people where they have hormonal imbalances that happen in the womb that make them lean more towards one
or
gender
you could
identity.
Or be like genetically intersex, which we used to call
hermaphrodite,
but that is now politically incorrect, which I learned a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
you can't say hermaphrodite anymore.
Yeah. Well,
but
it's got a different
name.
You can't
say it's intersex. Like, intersex. For any of our intersex watchers, we're not trying to. No, you know,
we're just trying to be PC. We want people to, you know,
we're not trying to ostracize anybody. We're just trying, unless you're a Republican, then go fuck yourself. But then, like, we're just trying to bring everybody in.
But, you know, I think this is important because we have a straight woman of color.
I'm gay.
A gay man of color.
Yeah.
And a straight white guy. And we're legitimately trying to figure out, we just want to say the
right
clearest
thing.
Way without offending anybody.
Right.
So we're trying, but you have to give
it's
us some credit.
Me
it's
feel
not
like
easy.
A Republican right now.
Well,
yeah. I know.
I know. Damn.
I didn't know until like 2 weeks ago that you couldn't say hermaphrodite anymore. And
I'm just not hearing about that. I thought that was just thing. It happened. Yeah. You know.
I think you
we
can still say
Rain
if you talk
Dove
about
on,
animals.
And I thought Rain Dove was going to fall off their chair. They're androgynous and they don't go by they, him, or her. I'm going to say they because I don't know what pronoun goes
there's,
by
there's
nothing.
There's dozens of them.
But, like, I.
There
Rain
are!
I thought Rain was going to fall off the chair when I said hermaphrodite. And it's like, I know intent is everything and you don't mean to be offensive right now. And I'm like, I'm being offensive? Like, I didn't know.
Well,
I
think there's some people, they deliberately keep the language about these social things in a state of flux and convoluted. So they always have the option of copping an attitude of superiority over you. It's unfortunate that you can't fault someone for just asking, so what's going on here? Like, I would say that to someone, like, I want to refer to you by the pronoun that you are most comfortable with.
Right.
I don't like they, but that's a grammatical thing because they is plural.
Right.
So that's why I would not want to use that. But hey, if that's how you, I guess just let me know. Don't act like if I say, oh, him, you say, whoa, you're way out of line with that. It's like, well, no one told me. There's no way I could guess if you prefer to refer to a Z or Czar or these other ones.
Some people like to be referred to as it.
Or especially like when you're androgynous, because like then you don't really.
But you can't come out of the gate and call someone it. Without knowing before that sounds old.
So like it over there said.
Yeah. Oh God! I mean, what could be more insulting than
to describe someone as an it? Like for me, like if the person physically appears to have that
like
multiplicity of that I can't identify what,
like if they have like one ball and one tit.
It's like so. Then I'm just kind of like, okay, well. What is the gender pronoun that you would like me to call you? Because I don't want to offend anyone, and I'm completely like, you know, I'm open to, I don't know everything, and I need to learn stuff, and I'm willing to learn stuff. Okay. And, but I still kind of will just ask. And then if they're just like, oh, I've got no pronoun, and like, well, what do you want me to call you?
Yeah.
You person over there with no specifics. Like,
do you just you wave?
Know. Yeah, it's like, hey.
Just do a throat clearing. Like, you
know, it's like, buddy. So now we're going to, well, we have a caller. Rima, do we know who the caller is?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I think so.
That's good.
Gotcha.
Wait.
So wait. Now, Joe, did you need to run out of here?
I'd like to hear the call. I'm just curious.
You
so I can hang out a little
around?
Bit. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've got a caller on the line. This is Big Talking Brewskies. I'm Marissa. Who do we have on the phone?
Oh, hi. It's Rebecca Rush calling in.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
Rebecca. How are you?
I am probably better than anyone would expect.
Well, that's awesome.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We were talking about gender pronouns and the confusion of the pansexual. That's what you're walking into.
cool.
But
we've decided it's a Pizza Hut item.
Pansexuals are mad confusing. Like, I don't want... I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but, like...
Did you guys know that at Planned Parenthood, they now have Hi, My Pronoun Is stickers?
Oh, really?
They don't offend people. Yeah, so you can, like, pick one up when you get there, write it, and wear it on your shirt so that you can they can avoid that minefield.
Yeah, it's like... I'm still having trouble... Like understanding the difference between a pansexual and a bisexual.
I think a pansexual is just like a new way of saying it. I think that people that are younger feel like they identify with that more because it sounds cooler. Bisexuality never really gained any traction as a legitimate thing. You know what I mean? Bisexual is always, and I think pansexuals are including transgenders in a way that bisexuality does not imply.
But, like, my whole argument with that was that if you are a bisexual, and let's just say that if you're a bisexual and you're a cisgendered woman, but you're identifying as a transsexual because you, or not a pansexual, I'm sorry, I'm getting all my sexuals mixed up, but you're identifying as a pansexual because you can be attracted to transsexuals. I feel like either physically
or transgender
or physically or
I don't think we say that anymore.
We don't say transgendered anymore.
No, you said transsexual.
No, we don't say transsexual.
Transsexual usually means if you've gone all the way from one to the other, whereas transgender can imply anything in between.
Between
those.
Okay, so I apologize if
all,
you know
in Latin. So it's like the idea of. Just like the idea that Native Americans used to have, like, up to five or maybe more genders, and one of those genders would be, you know, male with a female spirit.
Mm. Right.
And one of those genders was male, you know, male body with a whatever, the opposite.
And that's why I feel like I don't understand all this.
Pansexual is, like, inclusive of all of saying there could be more than two genders recognized, and I am able to love all people.
Because I'm also like,
there are
you know,
people that don't identify as a man or a woman. So by being pansexual, you're saying you're open to that as well, and you're not limiting yourself to just cis men and cis women.
But I see, and I guess that's where I'm having the disconnect, because to me, a trans man or a trans woman is either emotionally, intellectually, or physically, genetically, biologically male or female. So if you are pan and you're cis, but you are attracted to trans people, you are either engaging in an emotionally or physically heterosexual or bi or homosexual relationship, being that that person is trans. So like if I'm a cis woman and I'm dating a trans man, I'm engaging into an intellectually heterosexual relationship but a physically homosexual relationship. So to me, that's still bi.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
the way
no,
you're
I hear you. I don't know really what.
That was a crazy fucking equation.
But she's like, yeah, I got to tell you, you stuck the landing.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's like, you know, I yeah, just one of these.
It's like saying that you're a trans man is not a man, right?
No, yeah, I'm saying that a trans man is...
No, you're not saying that, but yeah. A man thing would be in that sense of being like, okay, there's more genders. Well, but a transsexual man born a woman feels very much like a man, so you're saying that person's a third gender.
I'm saying that that person is a biologically, physically a woman, but intellectually, emotionally a man. And if I'm attracted to that person, I'm partaking in physical homosexual sex, but intellectual, emotional heterosexuality.
Physical homosexual sex.
I don't know. I think that transgender people like do as much with their bodies as they can to conform to the gender that they do identify with. So I don't, and I think they want in sex to be that gender, not to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
See, I know a trans girl that spent her whole life, and like she rose in like corporate America here in New London at Electric Boat. It was a like, huge thing. She's a manager, and then like a year ago, in this like cis white male classic managerial position, was like, "Oh hey guys, I'm Tiffany," and she has so much like she says she has so much like white male white privilege from living as a man so long that she's got her to like achieve this level. I know it's weird.
Well,
but
no, but I tend to agree with that.
She wants to have sex like a woman, even though she still has male, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With her girlfriend that she has now, but she considers herself pansexual.
You know what? I think white male privilege is where I got to leave. It's my cue to leave here, so I got to go.
Joe, before you go, where can everyone follow you on social media? Where's your next gig?
My next gig, I'm not even sure what I have coming up, but you can go to joedevito.com, at Joe DeVito.
Oh, hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Rebecca? Rebecca, people don't know that I'm the reason why you started stand-up.
You gave me my first hosting night at Joker's Wild Comedy Club.
That's right. So,
oh, wow.
Blame or congratulate me, as you will, America. so go to at Joe DeVito Comedy on Twitter and Instagram.
Full circle.
And right. I know, right? Amazing, huh? And that's it. Yeah, I got my whole schedule at joedevito.com.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
It was a pleasure.
And, you know, like, thanks for the chat. It's been fun.
Yeah, right on. Thanks.
Rebecca, how was your week?
It was pretty shitty. Can I say that on this?
Yeah, I know. Shit, motherfucker, goddamn.
Yeah.
Excellent. Pretty insane. A lot of highs, a lot of lows, mostly lows. but also, like, what an interesting challenge, really. Like, you know, I was kind of like, oh, my life's going too good. I'm bored. And have a purpose.
So now for people that are listening that are not in the stand-up comedy community, what has just happened to you?
Okay. Let's see. Today's Friday. 2 weeks ago was Skankfest. I got added to it last minute to do the Naked Roast.
Okay.
Friday night, I went to Skank Fest. I left around 8 with another comedian who took me on a really nice date. Stayed out all night. Saturday, I was in the Naked Roast at 10:30 at night, and I was nervous. So I didn't get there till like, I think, 8:30. I was in front of people working on my stuff. I left at one point to go to the grocery store. Came back with a kombucha and some hummus. The show started late, around 11. Did the Naked Roast. It was, oh my God, there was so many people there. I won my battle. I went back and partied with everyone. Went home at 2:30. Somebody watched me get into an Uber and go. Go home, and I'm like, oh my God, I can win at comedy. You know, I've taken the last bunch of months off trying to figure out my next move and, like, work on myself. And I'm like, here's this beautiful. Because, like, I was told not to return to comedy, whatever. Like, I was going to take the whole summer off, and then I was like, what could possibly
Why
go
were you
wrong?
Told not you know? To return to comedy?
And who said that to you? Because that's like, what?
Who said what to me?
Like, why not to return to comedy?
Oh, I saw this psychic in New Orleans, right? And she's like, don't do comedy in New York this summer. And I was like, why? And she was like, just listen to me. And I didn't.
Okay.
I was like, what could possibly go wrong? So Skankfest was like really the first. It was like my second week back. And then Monday and Tuesday come and go. They're on, you know, they're unremarkable. Wednesday night, I was just sitting there 11 p.m. and I get a message from the producer. Sorry, I'm at Sailfest. They're starting the music outside. I get a message from the producer of a show that I'm on that I'm no longer on the show, and it was per the venue. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Why? And he doesn't respond, so I message his girlfriend, who's also my editor at a publication that I was writing for that I no longer am. And she said something about there are some pretty crazy allegations going on. There's a group screenshot. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with me? And she's like, Rebecca, they're saying that you sexually assaulted another female comic. And I'm like, what? And she's like, and there's a rape kit. And she went to the police. And she didn't have your last name. But now she's pressing charges. And, like, I didn't even know until days later. And then, okay, so that's, and I'm like, that's all insane. So I call a friend to sleep over. He sleeps over. Next day, I talk to the owner of the venue. She tells me more details, like there's a supposed rape kit with a rubber glove and an acrylic fingernail that what it's being alleged that I fingered someone. I still didn't even know when it was being alleged. It took me days after that. And I'm piecing, because I didn't do anything, I literally have had to piece together what people think that I did from the internet. And what a fun game that's been. Because everybody knows more about what happened than me. Because it's now like it's made up, right? So I don't even know. I found out just a few days ago that the actual incident was supposed to happen at Skankfest. I have pictures of myself at Skankfest with like most of my nails. I don't wear acrylic nails, right? And most of my fingernail polish is gone from the party I went to a month ago. You can still see the gold on my thumb. Like I would have had to go get a quick full set at midnight, secretly corner and violently finger someone in front of hundreds of people and then go get the nails off so that I could have a late night shot of me outside where you can see my hands but I have no fingernails.
So,
and the last name thing is insane because if you Google me, Rebecca Rush, it comes up. Rebecca Rush is on Facebook and it shows facebook.com, Rebecca.Lucenti. Okay, so now it's been 10 days. I haven't heard from any police, but the court of public opinion has decided that I'm guilty. And I've been kicked off more shows. And it's just so insane that people are willing to believe this because it's all women really believing it. And, like, don't you understand how fingernails work? Nobody cares that I'm like, okay, this couldn't have happened. No, nobody cares about that.
Right.
Like, that's
and,
just, like,
and
whatever.
We
they just decided that they don't like me, that I did something wrong. And it was also said that I accused three men of raping me. And it was three men of color. I never said those men raped me. I had one of them had sex with me, and he didn't tell me he had a girlfriend till after. I was mad about it. I complained that he didn't tell me about it. That's very different. You know what I mean? Was it cool of me to complain about it? Obviously not. But was I saying he raped me? No. You know, another guy, like, I relapsed after 6 months at his house. He, like, hit on me, and I felt uncomfortable. I didn't want to talk to him for a while, and then eventually I was like, you know what? It wasn't your fault I relapsed. That's not an allegation of rape either. Another guy says mean shit to me every time I see him. I complained about that. That's not an allegation of rape. So people are now calling me a false rape accuser on top of a rapist. It's very complicated.
Yeah, this whole situation was, like, super complicated. And, you know, granted, like, we're not making an assessment either way. I'm not saying that you're guilty. I'm not saying that you're not guilty. I'm coming from this at the angle of you've been accused of raping somebody and no one has come forward publicly to say that you have done this to them, and that I think that aspect of it is scary alone, because anyone can be accused of anything. And that, you know, we still have, even though Trump is president, we still have laws in this country, and that, like, everyone is innocent until they're proven guilty. And everyone,
unless you're a comedian,
like, you know, and everybody also should be able to face their accuser. And so, like, for me, I just think that this entire situation is insane, because, like, I can't imagine, like, an anonymous person coming forward to say that I had physically or sexually attacked them. And we've
and
seen
violently.
This. Like, right. So now what are they saying that you did to this person, allegedly?
That I fingered them and left a piece of a rubber glove and a piece of an acrylic nail inside of them. I just wish they would tell me which hand, because I'm left-handed.
I was going to say, do you have any idea of who the person might be?
I have. There are two men that have sexually assaulted me in comedy. One sexually assaulted me. One, I was, like, really wasted, and he came over, we had sex, and I don't remember if I consented. A few months ago, I reached out to that second person, because the first person was, like, trying to fight me in a bathroom. That was clearly sexual assault. I got away. But I've been very angry with him for a long time. And it's like, I look at myself and I'm like, have I, you know what I mean? The energy of getting into this mode is like somehow attracted it to me. Like, and why, you know, things happen that are fucked up and like that did happen to me, but why won't I let go of this story? Like, that's where I'm kind of at with myself now. But the other one where I started questioning it, because it like got back to me like, oh, he said you guys never had sex. And I was like, oh, we did. Why would he say that? And so I reached out to him and I was like, why would, did I say no and I don't remember? You know what I mean? Why would you tell me we didn't fuck? I know we did. And he never responded to me, but I saw him that Saturday night in question. You know, and I hadn't seen him in a very long time.
Oh.
And I'm like, is it him pretending to be a woman? Because they're claiming it's a younger female comic. Why would they do that? Because it's got to be somebody nobody knows, because it's not a real person. I think it's a catfish situation. I really fucking do. I think only a man would be stupid enough to think a fingernail would break off in a vagina. Only a man would be stupid enough to think I was wearing fingernails. Only a man would be stupid enough to think that with pictures of me with gold nail polish, like, flaking off my thumb, that anybody wouldn't take that off before they put acrylic nails on.
But also, why would, like, and I'm not, granted, I'm not saying that you did this or you didn't do this. I'm not the judge or the jury or anything like that.
I understand everyone's position at this point. Like, nobody wants to. Why would anybody want to fuck up their life over me?
But what I'm going to say is that I've never heard someone using gloves to digitally rape someone.
Yeah, that's
it's
a whole
insane.
Other.
And how, if I was wearing a glove, then how did my fake fingernail fall off?
But you would also think that there would be, like, a partial fingerprint inside of said glove.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
You know, like...
You know, I'm not going to lie. I've, like, bitten... I didn't know it was a fake fingernail when I was first told about the fake rape kit. And I was like, fuck, like, I've bitten off my thumbnail and spit it out places. Somebody's following me. You know, you just get... Like, your brain goes... Because I can't... I just can't... I can't finger it out, you know?
But... Who, like, a press on fingernail? People don't wear those anymore. Like, really, right? Like,
yeah, no one wears sleep press ons anymore.
Yeah,
like,
you go to the Chinese people and they put them on tight.
So now I'm just gonna flat out ask, just because, like, and you know, I'm already expecting an answer. But did you do this?
I absolutely did not. I didn't even hook up with anyone at Skankfest. The last time I even made out with a female comedian was last November, and she 2 weeks later like accused me of giving her herpes, which I don't have. And then 2 weeks later, we got in an argument about some rape joke that I had posted online that she thought was insensitive. And I was like, you know what? Never again with this shit.
Wait.
Never again.
So
and like, if I want to hook up with a girl, guess what? There's something called Tinder where girls, I don't like, consent is always very explicit with females for me, but I don't like to hook up with women that haven't already stated that they want to hook up with a woman. You know what I mean? And that there's Tinder for that. There's Craigslist if you're horny. You know what I mean? There's always a way. But this doesn't sound like I'm being accused of like wanting to fuck. It sounds like I'm being accused of being like a really depraved, just psychopath that gets off on like nasty mutilation.
Well, because you had mentioned rape jokes just now. Do you have a lot of rape jokes in your repertoire?
I'm a very dirty comic, and I'm also like always talking about the worst shit that I've ever done. And that's like kind of been my character, that kind of like my persona that my mother created. Because if I was doing like this over here, she didn't have to look at herself. So it's like that scapegoat has always been my persona. And I'm starting to see like how that's really not serving me. And that's what part of my taking a break is too. I'm like, I don't want to be on stage just saying horrible things that I've done and saying horrible things about myself and then exaggerating them to make them sound worse. You know, I want to find a new way to connect to myself and to my art that's not this like character of I'm an asshole.
So now I've just got kind of one question, because in all honesty and doing due diligence, I've tried my best to try to research this situation as much as I could, because this has been the first time that we've had an alleged rape within the comedy community, that there hasn't been a person that came out publicly to say that they were victimized by X and they met at Y and Z happened. So this is part of the reason why I've been kind of trying to follow this as much as possible. I've been in contact with multiple people, because I've actually been trying to get in contact with your accuser, because I feel like you've been able to give your side of the story, and that's one thing that we've always been about here on the show, is giving everybody a chance to talk, because there's two sides of every story and the truth usually is half of each side. And so I've been trying to find this person, and everybody that I've come in contact with has been saying that the person is wants to be anonymous or out of town or yada yada.
I don't think anybody's met this person in person.
Well, this is something that I also picked up. I also picked up that everyone has said that they know somebody that knows someone that has met this person, but has never actually met this person themselves. But the other thing was that everyone that I've spoken to has said that this has been around as rumor in the community for over a month, which if the incident happened at Skankfest, that was like 2 weeks ago. So,
I noticed a while ago that I was being treated differently by certain people. Like for no reason to me. I noticed that when I posted in like a female comics group that like nobody would say anything to me. I posted about this is like a comic. He's always drunk and always like telling me I'm not doing well and I should laugh it off, but it really gets me. And I posted being like, does anybody else have this experience with this person where he like kind of projects the fact that he's not doing well onto you, and does it bother you? And somebody messaged me right away and offered to mediate with me and them. And I was like, and nobody responded. I'm like, okay, I guess nobody wants to hear my complaints anymore. I'm Jewish. I complain a lot. Okay. I won't. But like, this is how these women bond a lot of the time. They're bonding, and I'm watching them all bond over complaining about dudes. Is that not how women bond in the comedy community?
I don't know. I've never complained about Jews. I'm a step Jew.
Bitch, we don't like you. Yeah, so people have been treating me differently for a minute. And that's very strange, because, like, it's being... And it seemed like the group of women that are, like, that are involved in like being like, this is true, and they're the ones who are making the jokes last week all day. They were trying so desperately to find a second victim, to the point where they went and talked to this girl that I hooked up with and that we argued and fought like after over a dumb rape joke over the Mo Sadlebab incident with, you know, last year with Experiment Comedy Gallery. And I said, well, the rape joke that I made was that I think the real tragedy is how many spots that I'm getting raped out of. And you know what? I stand by that joke. Same is the real tragedy for me now, is that. So, you know,
yeah,
I've learned in my time off that, like, these people aren't my friends just because I see them all the time. They don't want to be my friends. And that's fine. Like, I found, like, a new, like, boundary within myself where I was just, like, felt a lot more secure and less, like, worried about what people think. And, you know, now it's kind of really beautiful because I have this opportunity to be like, guess what? Okay, now I know where I stand with people. I don't have to worry. They hate me. And I don't have to worry about the approval of a group while I go out and make my art. And I was always focused on other comedians and then like fans. I'd be like, oh, whatever, you're not a comic. And that's so backwards. Now it's like, oh, focus on the fans that like comedy and actually, you know, want to support you.
Do you feel like somebody might have a vendetta against you? And like,
I mean, they would have to. And I, you know, somebody wants me out of comedy, out of the New York comedy scene.
But like,
that much is clear. Or they want to, if it's that person that I texted being like, you know, rudely being like, I think that, you know, this thing happened. I want to talk to you about it, even though it was 5 years ago, but something new came to light to me and it really makes me uncomfortable. And I said it in a nasty way. I did not say it like this, but that was what I was saying. And they never texted me back. I mean, I could imagine why this would benefit them, because if they discredit me now as this monster, I can never say that to them. But I really would just like, I don't want to out that person to ruin their life. I just want to talk to them.
Now, is this know? Because now, again, full disclosure and research, you said that there was a comedy club owner that you felt raped you.
No, it was an owner's son. Okay. And I've been talking about that for years, and he did not rape me. He tried to, and I fought him off. He, like, followed me into a bathroom. He tried to kiss me. I, like, pushed him off. He kept trying, and it was, like, a physical struggle ensued. And then I ran out, and I've been very open about that ever since.
Is, like, your theory...
But also I'm at the point where it's, like, I feel like I should just drop the story, because I'm seeing how, like, what does it serve to, like, stay in these energetic patterns of victimhood and of, you know what I mean? Is like, that the way I want to connect to people? Like, oh, this happened to me. You know what I mean? It's not really a good way to bond, I'm seeing.
Right, no.
Could he be behind it? Absolutely. But he's not in the New York scene, and he wouldn't have known that I had very minor issues with the three men that were named in conjunction with the situation.
So now, you know, how were these three men named in conjunction with you being accused?
It was said that, like, so this busy-ass night where I'm at the venue from, like, 8 until 2, and I'm doing the roast, and I'm working on the roast, and I'm, like, surrounded by people, I was supposedly also have an MO of, like, triangulating with these, like, rape accusation stories in order to rape women. So even though there's no second accuser, it still came to me as, this is your MO, this is what you do. I've never wanted to hook up with any of these female comedians that I've complained to. It's just like, sometimes I just complain before I don't even.
You're just kvetching.
It's just like, I'm a Jewish woman.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when you're telling them this, you're just kvetching.
They're always talking about men that did them wrong, so it seems like the only place to be like, oh, me too, like, let me join the conversation. You know what I mean? We're very conditioned to like that, I think, in this culture right now, especially in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I did a show where I spoke about, like, I did a sexual assault show, which I headlined, how ironic, last year at the now-defunct Experiment Comedy Gallery. And, like, everybody was talking about, like, catcalling, they were talking about whatever, and I'm like, I'm willing to talk about the real stuff, because I know a lot of us have gone through this and we're not willing to talk about it. And then, I don't know, I don't really want to talk about it anymore now.
Oh, do you feel like because you actually talked about your experiences that, like, now somebody is accusing you of.
Well, I feel like I've been too open and too, like, repeat myself and too, like, open about what's happened in my life, and that it pissed somebody off, you know?
So now, I guess
people are coming, they're like, we don't believe the accusations, but fuck you, you deserve this. Like, I'm getting those kind of trolls. Like, it's, how can you say that there's all these pictures of me with no nails, and there's nails, and even the idea of a nail breaking off inside of someone is so insane, and especially because I don't wear them. It's so insane that, like, people are like, well, we still hate you, Rebecca, because you're a false accuser. Well, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm somebody that really has had shit happen to me and hasn't been able to move past it and drop the stories until now. And what a wake-up call this is.
So now, I'm just trying to get a little sense of a timeline, just because the whole thing just seems so all over the place. And again, like, you know, I've been in comedy for a minute. So, like, this definitely is not the first time that I've heard a comic was a rapist or a sexual assaulter or a predator of any way, shape, or means. But this is the first time that I've heard that it was a woman allegedly being the assaulter. And it's also the first time that I've ever seen the alleged victim be completely nameless and anonymous, which for me, that aspect alone is frightening, because it's just means that anybody at any time can just say that I heard somebody did this to this person. And then everybody is just going to be like, well, we believe the victim because, you know, and you know, something, as a woman, we are conditioned to believe the victim because a lot of fucked up shit happens to us. And I'm not saying
that's the thing that's come, like, once I kind of got, like, it took a few days to, like, process a lot of stuff. But then once I stopped being, like, so offended that people didn't know me better or, like, didn't see me for who I am and, like, understand that, like, that's not something I would be capable of, I realized that, like, well, there's another person in this, that they are a shitty person if they say, well, you're lying, you know?
Right.
And I'm not, like, well, like, I haven't been around. Last fall, I really saw myself, like, I kept relapsing and just, like, you know, I had, like, a boyfriend comedy, didn't go great. I had, like, a roommate that was a comedian, didn't go great. And I was like, well, I'm the only common denominator. You know, and I went on the road and I traveled a bunch. And then, like, March and April, I was just literally, like, trying to heal my past stuff, because if you get triggered, it's because you have unhealed wounds. You know, you can't get triggered constantly by life, which is why this is such bullshit. Like, heal your wounds then, you know? And so that's what I have been working on, because I know I've seen that comedy is a social game and I'm not good at that, you know, over time. So I'm like, I got to work on that. And realize that, like, comedians aren't, you know, they're not there to be my buddy. They're not there to be my therapist. They're just there to do their own career. And, you know, I can't expect anybody to capitalize on my best interests above their own. And that's that, you know?
And so, like,
I mean, this can't go on forever. Like, I was promised 9 days ago that the charges were going to be pressed. They have my phone number. They have my real last name. I picked up my phone every time it rang. I haven't gotten a call. So I have not been charged with anything except, you know, by the comedy community.
So, like, you have not been contacted by the police, by an attorney?
No, I actually called a criminal attorney and they're like, you do not even have a case. What you have is a defamation case. Call a defamation lawyer. And then I think, well, why would I want to do that, though? You know what I mean? Why would I want to answer hostility with hostility? I want a comedy career, and by suing people involved, then that's like, then I mean, how could I ever expect to have a comedy career after that, you know?
Right.
I'd basically be suing people for believing a victim, which we are all conditioned to do.
Well,
I have a lot of friends and family that are lawyers, and they are all telling me not to do anything I'm doing, but nobody is me, and nobody knows it's completely made up like I do. So I don't have any fear of saying insane shit, you know?
Yeah,
that's why I made such a crazy video, where I'm all over the place, and I just keep losing my point. I find a new one. You know why? This is how overwhelmed that I am. This is what my brain is working like right now. And also, it's not real. So it does not matter what I say. You know what I mean? Somebody would, in order to file charges against me, they would be committing crimes of perjury, of perversion of justice. Those are very real crimes. So if this person does go to the cops, they will be committing a crime. And I know that.
Well, like, this is kind of like my question to you, though, is that if what would be the benefit to someone for setting you up for this? Like,
they would not have to deal with me anymore.
Like,
Unless it's that person that I texted, Rebecca, I don't know you.
We've never met. And I appreciate that you're coming on to talk about this, but you're not a huge star.
No, I'm nobody.
Everybody's somebody, but like, I'm just saying that there, like, it doesn't, I don't know if you have any sort of financial means or something like that, but it also would seem that what would be the benefit to anyone to falsely accuse you of doing these things? Because it's like, even Bill Cosby had 60 women coming up to say, hey, he raped me. Like, they had some sort of financial benefit of doing so, whereas you're kind of like an unknown comedian, and you know, you're just kind of like in a circle of whatever rooms and shows that you do. Like, I've been around for a long time. I did not know who you were until this whole thing happened.
Yeah, fair.
And so why would anybody, what would be the benefit of someone setting you up with an alleged rape charge?
Well, then they wouldn't have to worry about me talking about how they assaulted me anymore,
So you're kind of...
So it could be one of the, like, the guy that I texted a few months ago, or it could be the guy, you know, the club owner's son, or it could be, I don't know, something connected to that. But they would want, what would they want? They would be like, fuck her. You know, nobody really likes her anyway. She's not that great. She hasn't even been around for a long time. Let's just get her out of here. Everybody runs away when they get accused of this, so let's go for it. I mean, or it could be, I don't know, it could be just completely insane person. And, like, I have no idea why I was chosen. I don't know.
Is the club owner's son that you accused of allegedly attempted rape, is that the same club owner that you got banned from? Is that the same club?
It is the same club.
Okay.
I was told I was banned for my bad attitude.
Oh.
So now, since this incident, I
oh no,
like,
not no no no. That's a club I got banned from. They wouldn't let me play at it in Connecticut. Not the one this week.
Okay. So that's a big distinction.
So not the one this week. That's a huge distinction. We're talking about five years ago in Connecticut stuff.
Okay. So thank you for clearing that
nothing,
up.
So nothing. I have not been sexually assaulted in comedy in New York. I've been in New York for 2 years. No sexual assaults have been committed to me or committed by me in the time I've been in New York.
Oh, so like Connecticut's just mad rapey.
My experiences were from Connecticut.
Okay.
And, you know, I also used to drink a lot more around comedy, and you're an easier target when you're drunk, right?
Right. Well, this is another thing, because, again, I've been doing research. And so from what I have been told was that, and also listening to your podcasts that you've done and listening to your video. So, because I've never met you in life, and I just kind of wanted to know for myself, what am I walking into? And so, but from what I've gleaned from podcasts, your video, and people's accounts, that you have had addiction issues with alcohol and drugs, and that you might possibly, I think that you've said that you were a blackout drunk.
I usually brown out.
Okay, brown out.
I remember bits and pieces, but that I was sober. Like, I got sober in December, stayed sober. Like, I smoke weed, but, like, not drinking. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
And I was sober for 6 months before December. I was sober just smoking weed when I hooked up with the female comic last November. I've been mostly sober. Every time I relapse, I pretty much stay by myself. If I do end up relapsing, it's never good. But, no, those are... Yeah, so I understand what the point that you're trying to make. But it's not applicable here.
So it's not that
I don't have
it's,
a blackout.
It's not possible that
like
you
could have happened. No.
You had a brownout
Absolutely
or a blackout and you don't recall this event.
Okay, that would have to mean that would be in my nature to violently sexually assault someone, and it is not.
Okay.
That would have to mean that I would be like, do people drink and act stupid? Yeah. But to drink and all of a sudden turn into a sexual predator is not something I am familiar with.
Okay.
I don't think alcohol is an excuse for turning into a sexual predator.
No, fair enough.
And
I'm just
certainly, you know, like, come on, we've all gotten too drunk before. And have I been, you know,
I usually like, end up waking up the next day with a pizza. That's how I roll.
On your chest.
Usually on my back. Like,
no, I had a relapse last December, and that was ugly, and that was part of me staying away from comedy for a while and just like working on myself.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I guess.
I mean, I can't. I know. The greatest thing about right now is like I can afford to drink. Because I'm afraid if I drink, I'll just start, like, reaching out. I don't know what I'll say because I say shit. You know what I mean? That's my fucking mouth is what always gets me in trouble.
Right, and that's a part of the whole thing.
I fucking talk a lot of shit, you know?
Right.
But that's, I'm not a violent person. I'm not a sexual predator. Those are hugely different. And that's why I really much feel like what I'm, like, burning for here is just being a bad hang.
Right.
You know, they're like, and that's not... But, you know, it's right now I'm in Connecticut. I've been here since Tuesday. I came, my best friend tattooed me. And it's just so nice to be around people that, like, know I'm not a perfect person and they accept me and they also know I would never, ever do something like that. And they've known me a long time. And, like, ever since the first podcast came out, I've been getting a lot of messages from people that I do know, even some female comics. And I think more would if they weren't afraid. I'd be like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. Because who wants to even really know? Nobody wants that responsibility. So I'm just trying to be like, thank you, I appreciate your support, and not dump this on them, because this is emotionally exhausting.
Well,
you
no,
know,
I've already...
exhausted people a lot, and I think people resent that.
I've already had a few people contact me asking me why I would have an alleged rapist on the show, and kind of saying, like, do you want to get involved with somebody that, allegedly sexually assaulted someone? And, you know, like, my thought is that you, like everyone else, has to go through the process that we as a society have deemed that, you know, somebody accuses you of something, you get arrested, you go through a trial, like you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And then if you're proven guilty, then you go to jail. Like, that's just the basics of our society. But aside from that, I'm coming at it as I'm a woman of color.
Yeah,
Rodney is a man of color.
Yeah.
And people of color have been wrongfully accused
of a lot of things
for centuries.
Yeah.
And just the mere fact that how scary, terrifying, frustrating would it be to literally have a nameless person accuse you of doing something violent and heinous to another human being. And
essentially you're losing money over it.
And not come forward and say that, hey, I'm the person that is saying that I did this to you, and just having people believe a rumor at this point, because, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, granted, I'm 100% not on anybody's side on this. I've tried to get in contact with your alleged accusers. I've gotten in contact with you. You graciously came on the show. But I just can't imagine how anyone ever could feel like you aren't possibly able to be accused of something by a nameless person and in the court of opinion and rumor.
That's the part that I feel like bothers me the most, is the fact that, like, there is a nameless individual. Like, it's... you. That means that, like, it can happen to anybody. Like, anybody could just say, yeah, like, oh, yeah, you did this to me. And... but I'm anonymous.
Right, because, like, even if, like, this person wanted to, you know, stay nameless, like, I'm totally fine with that. And granted, if this person is out there and listening, I want to hear your story. Contact me. And
please do.
But
me too.
Yeah,
I would
yeah,
love to hear your
because
story.
Like, there's
please
no
talk or talk to somebody. Jesus
it's
Christ.
Everybody, you know, it wants to know what happened here. And to be completely honest, like, I don't want to have an actual rapist on this show. I'm hoping that you did not assault this person. And I also don't want to have a false accuser on this show. And I'm hoping that this person isn't lying about it. I hope this is a big misunderstanding. Like, I just really, truly hope that this is, like, hey, there
it's
was
not possibly a misunderstanding, though, because I've only ever hooked up with two female comics in my entire life, and I have got confirmation from both of them that it's not them. So
right.
That's it. That, for me, like, I what am I going to do? Go through everything, every person I've ever pissed off? Like, I am not in control anymore of my own life. And, you know, we never really are. But I'm, like, having to take a backseat in this situation in this weird way, you know? Because that's it. That's all I could do. There's two women I hooked up with ever. Contacted them. Done. Okay. What next? Well, there's nothing. I've been waiting. Nothing.
And to what you said earlier... you have not been contacted by the police, and you have not been.
I have not been contacted by the police.
But see, and that's huge. The fact that, like, you haven't been contacted by the police.
It's been 8 days since I was, or nine. It was last Wednesday, and now it's Friday that I was told. It was 2 weeks ago, supposedly, that it was actually happened. I was told this person already went to the police, but didn't have my last name, which is insane. Could have Googled for that. Could have Googled Rebecca Rush. My real last name's first thing that comes up. So I made sure that everybody talking to me, I'm like, here, if you can't figure out how to Google Rebecca Rush, then let me just give it to you, and here's my phone number. Okay? The person that, like, the accuser went to originally is somebody that I used to work with. I made sure they had my phone number. I made sure they had my last name.
Have you know, contacted an attorney?
I have a number of friends and family that are lawyers, and I don't need a criminal attorney until I'm contacted by police. So it is not a criminal case, according to the lawyer that I spoke with. He thinks it's insane and that it'll just go away.
But I feel like you might
no
have a case
in getting a defamation case. But why would I want to ruin? Why would I want to do that?
Well,
because you're losing out on money, and you're losing out on gigs, and, like, you have a name that you've established for yourself, and now that is being slandered and thrown through the mud by some unknown person.
Well, yeah, if I find that person that started, because, like, right now, all I know is, like, as I'm thinking, I don't want to sue the venues, I don't want to sue the idiots making jokes, I don't. No, if I find out who the actual person is, then I might sue for defamation.
Right.
Who knows? You know? More will be revealed. But that sounds like just putting me through more bullshit.
Right. Because this
and it just seems like answering hostility with hostility, you know?
Right. And it just seems so peculiar.
I think if the court of the public opinion could ruin me and take it all away, I think they could give it back too.
Right. And I kind of feel
and when
that...
this all comes out, then, you know, that could happen. So if this person didn't even ever need to go to the police for their made-up story, I don't think I need to go to a lawyer to defend their made-up story. And I don't think I need to attack them for making up their story. If they go to the police, they will be committing a very real crime. And then the police will be pressing charges against them when that gets revealed. That's how that works. So I wouldn't have to do anything in that case.
Right. And I just think that it's, you know, it's certainly a strange story in all aspects. Because firstly, I feel like, and not that woman-on-woman rape doesn't occur. It happens, and you know, woman-on-woman molestation occurs. But as far as the sexual assaults that's been seen in the comedy community, this seems like a first. And I feel like some people are on the fence of how to feel about it.
And I can't blame them.
Fact alone.
I really can't. You know, like, I get it. Like, why would you want to say somebody's lying? I was arguing with my friend Mike, who's an intern at Legion of Skanks, and you all should vote for him for the Intern Olympics. But I was like, Mike, who would lie about rape? Who would lie about rape? And we were having that conversation like a week before this happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, people do, Rebecca. And then I talked to a bunch of men. I mean, I talked about this in the other podcast. I had no idea how many men were out there being falsely accused, because there was just that guy that was murdered in Park Slope after that consensual threesome.
Right.
You guys heard about that, right?
And then the girl said that he had raped her, and so her boyfriend came back to kill the guy she had the threesome with. And then the guy figured out that it was a consensual threesome, but she just lied because she was caught.
Right. So, I mean, that's insane and sad. This isn't as bad as that. I know I didn't hook up with anyone, and I know that I haven't heard from the police, and I know that this person isn't real. So, you know, it's hard. It's like I'm trying. I'm really not good at being patient. And so the universe is like, hey, Rebecca, here's that. Here's how you learn how to be patient. I think that focusing on my past traumas has brought me into an energetic space where I'm attracting more experiences like that energetically, which is, you know, whatever, me attempting to feel some sort of control for myself. But it's just like so much of me just having to be like this, accepting it and knowing that accepting it doesn't condone it, and being like, this is happening, because there's a very big part of me that is in shock and just wants to believe it's not real and that it's just a big joke, you know? And I keep like expecting to wake up out of this like nightmare and having to really work on accepting that this is my new reality, and I have to think about other people's positions and their own comedy careers that they're working on and where they're coming from, and just learn how to be really fucking humble and patient, and also learn how to like stand up for myself in a way that I never ever have, because I know who that I am now and I do love myself, which is very important in times like these, kids. Very, very important.
Right. No. And the other thing that just seems so odd about the whole situation is that it's just so much rumor involved. Like, for example, the alleged victim tried to email a venue owner and was given the wrong email. And then that fake email allegedly contacted the victim. It's just like there's so many different plot twists in all of this.
Well,
it's,
that's why I realized when I like got over myself that like I really cannot. Oh my god! Like this victim is not just drawing victim. This person is not just like pulling my name into the mud, but they're also fucking with this festival. They're also fucking with this venue, and that's huge, you know. And I think that, like, if people came forward and were like, it's clear that you couldn't have done it right now, Rebecca, I don't think they'd ever get the real story. And that's what I keep trying to remind myself. Like, if, say, the owner of the venue is like, all right, there's no way she could have done this, then she has to deal with the fact that the accuser goes away And we never know who did that, which means they could do it again, you know?
Right.
I, like, understand the importance of waiting here is imperative to find out what actually did happen. And at first, I didn't care, and I wasn't thinking about that. I just was like, I want to clear my name now. Okay, here's my last name proof. Here's my fingernail proof. Here's my timestamps of people that I was with. Here's pictures of me at the event without fake fingernails. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, here's all this proof. But nobody wants to hear it, and I get it, because we would never find out what happened if we just went with, like, all right, Rebecca's proven it couldn't have been, she couldn't have done that thing, so let's move on. But I did feel like people were treating me weird over the last month as I began to return to comedy, and, like, women that I was, like, friendly with were very cold to me, and I just figured, you know, I just want to think everything is my fault, which is the funniest part about this. Because when things are my fault, if I'm just like, oh, it's because I'm a scapegoat, I'm like, oh, it's my fault, so you can feel
right.
better. But, like, I'm not going to do that with this, you know? And I am also, like, I have a little bit of OCD, and I'm part of my OCD is that I confess everything wrong I do. And you could see it in that video, and that's what I wanted to show. I wouldn't be able, I'm not, like, if you've known me at all, like, I can't keep anything to myself.
Right.
There would be no way I'd be able to keep this to my fucking
self.
We
have to actually wrap this up. But, you know, like, it's definitely, you know, I don't know you. I've never met you. I appreciate that you came on the show to talk about this situation. I very much hope that you didn't do this. And I also very much hope that, you know, that someone was not assaulted. But before I know that you have said that you've lost a few gigs, but before we get out of here, what gigs can anybody see you at next that you haven't lost?
Well, my own show. And I was really appreciative that the comics didn't cancel that are on it. That was huge to me. It's in New London, Connecticut next week at 33 Golden Street. And then I'm supposed to do the Times Square Storytelling Festival tomorrow, the 2 p.m. and the 4 p.m. show. And then August 5th, I'm doing 15 minutes at Greenwich Village Comedy Club. That just happened last night.
Okay. And then, Rodney, where can everyone see you next?
I'm going to be hosting Fashionably Funny with the awesome Marissa Smith on the 13th, next Thursday. So,
and I will be on Fashionably Funny on August the 13th at Broadway Comedy Club. And you can catch us right here on FLO Empire Radio every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Follow us on Twitter at Big Talkin' Brew. I'm Marissa Smith. And remember, Donald Trump is selling us to Putin as we speak. Have a good night. See you next week.